trust the process.
Trust the process.
Ladies and gentlemen and sports fans of all ages, welcome to the Swear Word Party. Trust the process. Vancouver's sixth best Canucks-related show. But the number one Canucks 76ers NFL pro wrestling movies, TV, music, and pop culture extravaganza. Please welcome your hosts, Wyatt the Stanchion Art and Jay Bowman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Trust the Process, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, an awesome assembly of shows covering every team in the NHL and a whole lot more. Follow the network at HockeyPodNet on Twitter for new episodes of your favorite shows every day. Welcome to TTP, and welcome to the Swear Word Party. I am Jordan Bowman, and I'm joined, as always, by award-winning journalist and all-around good chum, Wyatt Arndt, the Stanchion. Wyatt, how are you doing?
Doing good. I'm happy to announce I recently won an award in Portugal.
So Portugal! The Nando's Lifetime Achievement Award?
I signed an NDA. I can't talk about it, but it's just we're going
Nando's
global
Disclosure
now.
Agreement?
Yeah, you got it. Oh, I said too much.
Yeah.
And I do want to say last episode, we're back after the big break, and everyone is wondering why, and it was because Tupac had died. Or not died. Jesus.
How long a break we talking? You know, technically, you and I started this podcast as a, let me get this right, as a 8-year-old and an 11-year-old?
Yep. That was around then. Yep. Power Rangers brought us together.
And then when, we did one episode and then Tupac died and we're like, all right, I can't go on. California Love was too good. Yeah. So.
No, I would say like obviously like the rest was made for Tupac. That brought us back. I'm worried people think something else bad is or big has happened to bring us back again. But no, we're just trying to be consistent again. Like we had a good run. There's nothing big's happened. There's no murder mystery is being solved. It's just a regular episode, so everyone can rely. I just feel people are sitting there, edge of their seat, going, "Well, what the fuck happened now? What did I miss? Like, why are the boys back together?"
They only come out of the woodwork. I don't know what the woodwork is, but that's a very popular term.
It's a craft pub.
In Portland. They only come out of the woodwork at dawn.
Yep.
When something big happens, something landscape changing in the world we live in. So, no, nothing happened. It's just last week we did one, and we'll do one this week.
Actually, it was kind of big news. Canucks Army got Jeff Patterson.
I was going to say, that's in my Canucks rundown. That's not the first story, but it's up there.
We're taking over the world, man. I'm telling you. We got a good roster here.
That's
this is like
big
this
get.
Is like a good. It's not like the NWO when they had too many people. This is like the beginning NWO with just enough.
Yeah. All right, so what member is Jeff Patterson? Would you say he was possibly maybe the Giant when the Giant joined up?
Yeah, I feel that's pretty good. That's pretty solid,
yeah. Yeah, cuz he's not Hogan, Hall, or Nash.
No.
I wouldn't say he's six pack either, but he's an impactful dude, and he is, dare I say, a giant in covering the Canucks in the local Vancouver media scene after all his years kicking ass. So, yeah, I think it counts.
I'm just staring into the distance because I think I realize I'm Hulk Hogan in this. I don't like that one bit.
You absolutely are.
I come out with the athletic shirt on. Like, it's here to help. And then I drop the leg.
Yeah.
On Thomas Durant's in the middle of the
ring. Yeah, but whose side is he on?
Fucking Favor and Quads being the outsiders.
That's my favorite thing about all of that is Heenan, after years of dogging him in WWF, was like, yeah, I fucking told you all along. This guy's a piece of shit. I was right after all this time. And it's not like he just started liking him because he's a heel and Bobby Heenan's a heel. He hated him because he just hates Hulk Hogan.
That's my Evan Rivers storyline.
Yes.
I told everyone all along I knew it.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. All right, man. Well, we're still doing the show as its podcast. Save on Meats, the Meat Shack. I don't know if they're doing shows or have anything there. I remember the old days doing it with Big Sleeps. And
oh,
yeah, that show
Big
before
Sleeps.
Us
He's
with Kehlani Rose, who's a big star on Shoresy.
Yep.
So I didn't process that at first. I was watching Shoresy and I'm like, this actress is so, so familiar.
Where do I know them from?
Where do I know her from? And the last thing that would have popped into my head is that I would like, I don't mean this like know her personally,
yeah.
But that we've met multiple times in person. Because I'm like, what else have I seen her in? Oh, right. Life.
Yeah.
Every Saturday.
Yeah.
Definitely a nice person.
Yep.
Yeah, wonderful person. Oh, my goodness. So the show's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review. And the nice thing about being a podcast is that it doesn't matter when you listen to it because...
Ain't nothing but against the party.
I'm going to say it now. The next person to leave a review, because no one's done it for a while. If you leave a review, the first person to do it, DM me and show me that review. I'm buying you Starbucks. Send you a little gift card.
Wow.
Bucks. Yeah, so the first person to do that, get in there. Get 10 bucks on me.
Yeah.
And get free coffee.
And I'll say, hey, first person that leaves a review, I'll just repeat that Wyatt will buy you a gift card.
Yeah, see? There we go. It's teamwork right there. And we'll read out in the show. So let's get involved. Get in there. You can't have already left one, though. I don't want that's kind of... Unless it's... Well, do you want to allow repeats?
Is that even possible to leave two reviews? Or I guess you could have a ghost fake accounts. Email yeah. ghost accounts. Yeah.
You know what? If you got all the way to have a fake account, go for it. Good for you.
Yeah.
It'd be like Liam Neeson leaving a review all of a sudden.
I'm trying to figure out how we would trap them and find out who they were if they were trying to go the incognito route.
What if it was Liam Neeson who actually left the review? He's like, I love the show, but I'm disappointed Bowman didn't. Yeah, he did not remember me in Love Actually.
I'm taking levels of angry with him. It is right below kidnapping my daughter and selling her into sex slavery is forgetting that I was in Love Actually.
Yeah, you could have cost us.
Yep. Okay. Well, I did. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been roughly 7 days since you and I last sat down to record. A lot going on with, Western Canada's best hockey team.
I thought you were going to say politics, but what are we doing in this
podcast? No. God, no.
Let's dive into local politics.
So here's why I think the Freedom Convoy damaged the reputation of the Canadian flag forever.
Here's our guest, Theo Fleury. Theo, welcome to the show.
You know what? I feel like we could get him.
If anyone handled with the gentle touch that requires, it's us.
You come here for a lot of information, for a lot of things. But yeah. I know, solving political issues and stuff is another feather in our cap, another tool in our toolbox.
Yeah, finding common ground with Theo Fleury. I think we can do it.
Yeah.
Why are we so mad, Theo? We can get this.
Dude, we can get over this. All right, well, how about the little Canucks in 7, presented by Van City Original?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, sir. Eventful 7 days for the Vancouver Canucks. Still losing preseason games. Nothing has changed there. But, I think people got all hot and bothered the other day because they are accusing the Canucks of a little advertising bait and switch with the Abbotsford game.
Like you get their Stewie going higher and higher. We're going to be there. Maybe they were going to be the
Abbotsford game.
Maybe Quinn Hughes was in on the posters.
JT Miller on the posters. Is that planned?
I mean,
people are mad.
It's preseason. It's like I said in Twitter. It's wrestling. You know, card subject to change. It's preseason, right? Like the Canucks. Let's be honest. They're always trying to get your money. Like that's not a surprise. Yeah. So don't be shocked by that. They're not out to give you like value for your dollar.
This is a business, man. Yeah.
We want to help. They don't want to help you.
And it is run by a businessman. I'm not saying a good businessman, but this guy comes from the land of how do we shake down the marks.
Yeah,
how do we squeeze
exactly.
the marks for everything we can?
Yeah. Where are all the whales at? He's looking. So that's the thing. So they're trying to get your money.
Homer Simpson pigeon with the wad of cash at the carnival. Yeah.
Yep. So that's like, would it be nice for Abbotsford to get, you know, the parent club come down and showcase their stars, of course. But it is preseason and I don't know. It's tough to get mad. I would be more mad from the people if I was paying, which they do, the full price tickets for preseason. That makes no sense to me, which again just shows the Canucks are after your money. Like there's nothing, they've been very upfront about that. They're not, that's been their end game for a while now. So.
Wait a minute. Hold on. The thing that drives this team the most is economics.
I thought it was team spirit. I don't understand.
Where's the passion and love?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you're mad, sure, but I just think it's, you know, it is what it is, and it's preseason games, man. Like, what can you do, right? Like, even if they went and had preseason and they said, Quinn Hughes said, I'm going to play this game. You can't hold me back. The fans deserve to see Captain Quinn Hughes and goddamn Abbotsford. But my tummy kind of hurts a little bit tonight. They're going to dress him. Like, don't you fucking go out there. It's preseason. Don't you try anything. Like, they're going to be cautious. So anything could happen to take him out. It is what it is. And again, leading regular season, right? Like, Hey, you know what? 2011, I was promised Dan Hamhuis in the finals, game 7. Didn't happen.
Yeah, my refund is still pending with the NHL.
I was told Dan would be here.
He was here, and things were great. And then this was a 7-game series. Fella played 2 games. What's going on here?
He was on my ticket. I was told he was going to be here.
He's on the side of the fucking building.
Yep.
Big poster.
Yeah, Dan, I saw Linden's batter. He didn't run in the ice at any time, like in wrestling. What's going on? Yeah, so I mean, can you imagine Linden runs in the ice with a chair, like with skates, just hits Lucic, the crowd pop.
Oh, how the crowd would pop.
We'd have to sort of the legalities of it all, but still. It'd be
great. Oh, fuck, that's all secondary stuff, man. I'm not concerned about that.
Can you imagine Linden says to himself, he's watching this game. Let's say it's like, he's seeing it go down. He's like, I just want to be like the most craziest hero in Vancouver ever. And I think if I take a chair to Lucic on the ice, it'll get me there. And he does it. Like, we'd always talk about it fondly.
That'd be a legendary moment. See, you say, can you imagine, and like in that scenario? And I will say to you, yes, very easily, because I've thought about that whole series and that whole thing so much over the last however many years that, I can imagine pretty much anything. Dan Hamhuis with a steel chair taking it to Lucic. Yeah. And then he gets hauled out of the arena like when Stone Cold used to get arrested.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where his head's still going, and he's still peeking. And if he can, he's going to get the middle fingers out of the back of the handcuffs and still flip you off. That's how I imagine him. He's being dragged out. And dare I say, winning the cup would be secondary at that point?
Well, I think, yeah, that's just a moment bigger than life.
Right? Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's like they win the cups, like, yeah, in 4 games, of course. And it's like, yeah, this is all great. But, man, when Hamhuis took a chair to Lucic and got arrested? Good times. Good times. So, yeah, he was on the ticket. So, yeah, man, people were really, really choked and just going back and forth. And it's funny because anytime any sort of divide happens, Canucks Twitter has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. I think in the last however many years I've been adjacent to it, part of it, whatever. Now, I think the last year, because it used to be very like pro-bending people, anti-bending people, and that's how it all kind of worked out.
Yeah.
But now it's just hard overreactions on either side to any particular issue, right? Like the thing with the post, people like, what a crooked organization to swindle people out of their money and this and that. And then there's people going, it's hockey. It's, you know, it's wrestling. What are you going to do? But it's like, it's very extreme. Has it always felt this extreme? Like,
no, I mean, we're not going to go dive too deep, but it just mirrors, like, I think what's going on in life in the world, right? This is, it feels like the nuance is gone. So people can't have a normal discussion. So like, if you're not being heard and people are attacking you for anything you do, you just go to the extreme of your viewpoints. And all of a sudden you've got these divides in everyone. Cause like, it's just, I got it too. Like people pushing back at me and like, and the people that, again, I'm obviously more on the left side.
About
and
what?
When people, they get mad about anything, right? And so anytime I look at them and like, they're really a big asshole, it's like, you look at their account, it's like, oh, they've been retweeting Andrew Tate all day. And like, there's a certain mentality that like, just does not go with what I believe in.
I'm going to ask you a question about Andrew Tate, because I don't know a lot about him, and I'm really happy with that.
Yeah.
What is he? Is he like an MMA guy? Is he like a, like, he's not an actor. I know
No, he's done some combat fighting, but he's just kind of like an influencer, right? He's like, here's how men should live.
Those are the worst fucking people, sorry, that are just like famous for being famous.
Yeah.
Right?
He's built a brand.
He was an MMA guy beforehand?
Yeah, he did some, I don't know if it was MMA specifically or boxing, but he did some sort of combat sports.
Okay.
I know for sure. So,
all right.
Which, okay, fair enough, like, I get it, celebrities get popular, all that shit, whatever, but it's just certain people just push back at me, and I've just noticed that, like, yeah, there's a clear divide where it's just harder to have a normal conversation. It, like, feels like everyone just drops the gloves and goes to their sides right away, and it's just, it doesn't make for the best sports discourse. It wasn't great to begin with, but now I feel like it's gotten worse.
Yeah, and like, nobody is willing to really look at the other person's point of view. It seems you'll never see anybody say, you know what, you're right. Like, no one wins these arguments. Also, but people go into them not wanting to lose the argument.
Yeah, it's a perfect way of saying it.
Yeah. And I think there's that, the really, really amazing tweet or whatever that kind of sums up everything is like, oh, how social discourse unfolds. And somebody says, I like pancakes. And someone's like, why do you hate waffles? And it's like, bitch, we're not talking about that. That I think about that a lot whenever I see any like nonsense or whatever unfolding. So, big news, I guess, today, Stan Smeal. Hanging him up again?
Again?
Hanging up the ties? Stan Smeal looking into retirement there.
Yeah, he's always been behind the scenes. Like, he was interim GM for a bit. He's done every single thing you can ask of a person for a hockey club. He does it without complaining. He's been put in some really awkward positions, and he has come through. Like, I remember when Jim Benning was around and or had just gone, and like they're asking Smuel to answer questions. Like, he just was the a Vancouver Canuck from day one. He always will. But he had that infamous quote of like, "This is my team, the only team I've ever had." I know people, when you start doing the you know, retired numbers, Mass Meals, like, one of the easiest ones, like, should he be up there?
Yeah.
And I get it. Skill-wise, that makes sense. Let's just take it a logical debate. I get it. But in terms of just, like, a guy who, like, is just so dedicated to the city, so dedicated to one franchise, like, Stan Smuel is number one in that regards over anyone and on who has the number up in the Raptors. So,
yeah.
It's you know, sad. We have a hot dog named after him. Whenever I've interacted with him, he's been nothing but nice. Every media guy I've talked to, media gal I've talked to, has said that he's been just the perfect gentleman. He's an awesome guy, always helpful. So we're hearing a lot of stories of a lot of the good people kind of leaving the Canucks organization.
Yeah.
Which isn't a great trend, I don't think. So, you know, you kind of worry about the echo chamber of yes men that might be surrounding the owners of the team. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, I think anytime you lose someone like Stan Smuel from your org, I know he's being an ambassador, but that's just, you know, a nice way of saying he's done, right? So
they can just, like, I was going to say wheel him out. That sounds mean. But they could just bring him out. That's not offensive at all. They could just bring him out for your special events or, you know, it's captain's night. All the old captains are here. Not you, Mark. You could keep fucking off.
Yeah, you're never. That's amazing.
I love that.
Yeah,
The fact that the Canucks also acknowledge, everybody knows that, this is a big mistake. This didn't work, and fuck that dude forever.
Because even the Canucks, like, who could be totally corporate in every decision and be like, hey, including Mark, gives us better eyes, gets people from around the league might want to look at us. They even know that that's a step too far with this franchise and this fan base to even mention Mark Messier.
I say this just dripping with, ugh. He is regarded as an NHL legend, sure, for the entire game. He's got an award named after him. So you would think the Canucks, being the star fuckers that I imagine they are, would latch on to that and want to. He was one of ours, too. Like, you can't do that with Matt Sundin, unfortunately. We do it. Yeah,
we try.
We still try. You can't do that with Matt Sundin. But here's someone who's a league-renowned impact player, and the Canucks are like, never heard of him. He was never here.
It's incredible that, like, there's an award for leadership named after Mark Messier, and, like, that's the last thing people in Vancouver can think of. Like, I'm not going to relitigate it all for us, but, like, even just watching, let's use Luke Shen. We saw him bust his ass. He never quit in a shift, and he gave it his all. We know that, and he got a big following because of it, right? You knew he did everything he could. When Messi arrived here and played here, he didn't give a shit. He'd won his cups. He wasn't here to lead. We saw the way he played. We're not idiots. We may fight a lot, but we saw how he played.
Yeah.
We saw him sitting in the stands with fucking Mike Keenan and his buddy. Like, it was a complete shit show, and not once did Messi take any sort of, you know, accountability.
No.
Takes Mackey's number. Like, and even if you took a number and say the Canucks fucked up, and they said, we don't want to piss off Mark, don't tell him about Mackey, and Messi finds out, like, a month in season, I would be like, I'm so sorry, I'm going to talk to the family, but they still want me to wear it, I'm dropping that number. Like, that's the right thing to do, even if he really did not know that number was kind of put aside for the Mackey family, right? But no, it's fine. He's like, it's all good. Like, nothing he did seemed genuine.
Yeah, when you find yourself saying that's the right thing to do, you know the other thing, Mark Messier did it.
100%, yeah.
Because fuck that dude.
Not a good time here.
Yeah. He turned me against Lay's chips for a time.
Yep.
Well, Old Dutch is a superior chip in pretty much all the way across the board.
It is.
Do you think every Old Dutch just clears every flavor of Lay's?
No, it just feels like it's, like, been there all my life. Like, it knows me more than Lay's does.
Have you seen the, do you watch Letterkenny at all?
No, I know of it. I've seen a little bit, not a lot, though.
I don't think you need to really be familiar with the characters, but they do, like, a bottle episode in their last season that's just all about chips and them debating the superior Old Dutch chip flavors.
Nice. That's solid. That's solid.
And there's some good polls in there and some really interesting opinions. And you don't need to really know any characters or any backstory. I think you can just kind of pop in and watch just that one episode. I think even if you're not a fan of Letterkenny, if you're a fan of chips, you owe it to yourself to check that out.
Oh, God, I think that chips a TV show for a second. I lost track of where. that's a poll.
Hey, that's a poll, but that would also be the second time I've mentioned the show Chips today on a podcast.
No. What?
You want to know how I got to chips?
Yes, please.
I'll tell you right
now. That was happened twice in a day.
I'll tell you right now, you will never be able to predict how else I got to chips
in my other podcast. Yes, please do tell.
Sorry,
how this
I'm just
journey.
Making a note that has to be one of the pictures without context.
Yes, please.
All right. So it was at the movies 10 years later.
Yep.
Was recording that this afternoon with Janine. And we had to do two movies today, so we did Riddick, and we also did One Direction, This Is Us, a concert film that was number one, directed by Morgan Spurlock, oddly enough.
Oh my God, that's okay.
Yeah, all right. So, was it Riddick or One Direction that led me to Chips? Follow me on this journey.
Oh man, no.
How does my mind work?
Well, like the funniest one would be One Direction, but you're just... this weird cinephile that you'd get there from Riddick. So I trust you to go through Riddick. What happened?
Incorrect. It got there from One Direction.
Damn it. I was hoping you got through the Riddick somehow.
All right. So now we know it's within One Direction. What avenue do you think I took to get to Chips?
The 6 degrees of Chips.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of the band members?
Yes, but not one of the One Direction band members.
I'm drawing a blank. Take me on your journey.
The band was O-Town.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And a fella in O-Town, we were listing the members of O-Town. You know, your Ashley Angels, your, you know, Akaikas, who was trouble from the start, your Dans and stuff. And then there was a fella in the band named Eric. His last name was Estrada.
Oh, shit.
His name was Eric Estrada, who also starred in the TV show Chips.
Well done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two references one day. Yeah. So, did you hear the, there's a lot of buzz about the We're Just Here for the Riot 30
What's
for 30 documentary.
I've not wanted to hear, I hate this project.
Oh, really?
I really don't want anything to do with it. Like, I understand, like, I'm not saying they should have done it. I hope it does well for them. I think it's, you know, I understand why they want to do it, but I myself have just zero desire
to relive to
see, it. Like, what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do? Like, it's shitty enough to have the riot jokes and the, like, you know, all it is, but like, this is like one of those weird, like, you know, are they going to, like, random people come and start like fucking looting the bay? Like, there's nothing good about the riots, and I just don't know what, I don't know. I just feel like putting a spotlight on it is kind of not my favorite thing in the world, but like, what's the buzz? Everyone loving it? Like, what's going on?
Do you remember when that dude got hit in the nuts with the flashbang?
Yeah, the Kiss was the funnest thing came out of that riots, but even that's like, it's like, I don't know.
Well, I just, the thing that gets me is there have been way worse, way more interesting riots, I would feel, in sports.
Even, yeah,
what's special about this one? Is it the fact that it's Canada and that's like funny to you? Like, yeah, that's the thing that I'm kind of curious about is there are other sports riots. There's fucking sports riots every single year. There's got to be something in the UK where some soccer hooligan, you know, lost both eyes or something. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, again, like a full, you know, go at it, have at it. But for me, I just have such little interest in it.
Yeah, from what I was reading, people were saying it was quite good. And yeah, really, really interesting and stuff. But yeah, so I think, I don't know when that premieres on like ESPN or anything like that, but I think it was at the Vancouver International Film Festival where they had a screening earlier this week, I think. And the chatter was that it was good.
I just don't know. What are you going to do with that one, man? People holding their chips at the bay they stole over their head. Like, what?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Deion Sanders playing two different sports in one day. There's a 30 for 30.
That's a goddamn good 30 for 30.
The Buffalo Bills losing four straight Super Bowls. Now, there's a 30 for 30.
Yeah. I feel like this could have been a 5 for 5. I don't know. It's a little quick.
What was the one? It was an E60.
Yeah,
the ones, because Scott Hall had an E60, and I thought, you could do a fucking 30 for 30 on Scott Hall. But they did a 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. I was never like a Flair guy, really. Yeah. So
never been a Flair guy. No.
Yeah, his like gimmick is his life, and that is it's a piece of shit, swinging his dick around and stuff.
Yeah, he's living the gimmick, and that's what it is. And
like that's okay if your gimmick is, hey, I'm a nice guy who that'd be boring as hell, but it's not good for wrestling.
That's John Cena, make a wish.
I'm a nice guy. I care about the elderly. You know, I donate blood regularly. You know, I'm here to win some wrestling. Actually, I think that'd get over.
Yeah, probably today, especially. Everyone's like, oh, it's so nice.
He's so nice. anything else Canuck-wise you wanted to get into? Anything about the on-ice stuff happening during, like, it's preseason? Okay, it's preseason. Pod Colson sent down, interestingly enough. People are really kind of turning on Pod Colson. Your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of players that you get to that age where, like, you kind of have to maybe accept that, like, that's all they're going to be. Like, you know, some hit it sooner than others. But for every Hoglander, Pod Colson, and we've gone through it before in the past with players that never panned out. So
yeah.
I know it's the sexy first-round picks are always nice at the time. They had, like, Hoglander also had a kind of a first good start to his career under Green, so you wonder if you can get back to that. But, you know, it very well could be that they just don't have it. Because that's the thing with Pod Colson is always like, oh, man, like, he's just not getting the luck. He's not scoring, but he can score. Like, he does a lot of other things really, really well. But he hasn't shown any ability to score at the NHL level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not coming. Like, can it turn around? Of course it can. But you're just running out of the data kind of supporting that happening. Like, the odds are getting lower and lower.
Yep.
That was a really rude route to get to odds. But, yes, the odds are a lot lower.
all right, now do chips.
Yeah, Eric Estrada's in my head.
Now get to chips.
And, you know, I think the good point that was brought up, I think it was Donnie and Dolly while we're talking about it, like, what has impressed you this, who stood out this preseason? I think Farhan answered too, and nobody, like, they're right. Nobody has stood out in the preseason as, like, besides, you know, I think Quinn Hughes, which he should stand out from the guys trying to make the roster and make an impact. No one stood out as like, oh man, like, they've got someone pushing from the bottom, right? You don't really feel that. And you look over at Buffalo, and again, preseason, like, we've seen Steve Kriel, you know, Sergei Shirokov, like, people have come along there.
Ah,
yeah. Been preseason stars.
There's another one, small guy recently. It wasn't Jordan Schrader. It wasn't the fucking Jensen train. It was Hunter Shinkarik.
Yeah. Shinkarik. Yeah. Yeah. We were getting a bit of hype.
Sold on him.
And then, yeah, it can unfortunately can kind of go nowhere. So the preseason, Zach Benson and Buffalo is, you know, doing really, really well. And that's the guy they could have picked, but they chose Willander instead. And again, we've got many years before we can even look at that. But just in terms of hype, we're just talking purely about hype. The Canucks don't really have anything that makes you think to yourself, like, oh, man, this season, like, they got some people coming.
Yeah.
Which is, again, you don't always need that. But if we're just going to say, what's my takeaway from the preseason, that would be it. Like, no one really kind of impressed me, like, making me think, yes, this will be fun to write up with this kid.
Which is not a great thing heading into this season, right? To not have even, like, any players out of the preseason that you're excited about. Anybody who's... I don't mean this the way it sounds, but anybody showing that they really want to be there.
Yeah, finding the extra gear, finding a way to make an impact. I know it's... Yeah, we can clumsily phrase it sometimes. I'm saying, like, they don't care. But no, like, they're not able to get to the level that you would hope someone would kind of to make an impression. Even for me, like, well, Landon's my early boy.
Yeah.
His puck handling has been terrible. I thought that would be the one thing that would kind of separate him a bit was his ability to make passes and kind of, you know, push the play. And he hasn't been able to do that at preseason level. So I'm like, oh, shit. Like, sometimes boys need to be boys where they come in for 20-game spots and that's it. Like, that's a pure boy, as we call them.
If you lose one, if the state comes and takes them away, you get a chance to pivot and select another boy. So that's fine.
But even, like, pure boys that, like, go and they have a 20, like, game stint and they never play again. That's a pure boy.
Oh, yeah.
They came in, did their job, never left you. Like, that's the good stuff. So, like, Luke Shen.
Hey,
was,
remember Lubomir Vice, everybody? Yeah.
Like, for me, like, Luke Shen had a perfect boy career.
Oh,
like, he
my
had the
God,
comeback.
Did he ever. I was so
and
happy
then he
for
had
you.
The two seasons and, like, and then he left, never became too great, and it was a perfect boy run. Like, it was great.
There it is right there. That's how you're summing up a boy. Never become too great.
Yeah, exactly. Never become a man.
I think it's like never become above, like, pretty good. Pretty good is your ceiling. And don't you dare go higher than that.
Well, then, something like you saw, you had Maxi, you had a degree, he had to see his graduation.
He graduated,
we always say,
yep.
A father should never see his boy graduate. That's the number one thing we say in the boy town, right?
That's right.
So it's
like,
and you had to see it.
No, like, but you're always, that's the end game. You're always,
I know, but it's not the,
for it, right?
I mean, kind of want the boy to be a boy, but maybe that's just like trying to hold on to my boy and you're better. You're a better person because you want to see
the But here's the thing, when everybody's cheering for him, when he's a superstar, you can just kind of take a little extra moment for yourself and go, I was there early.
I helped with that.
Yeah.
And do the Rudy clap.
The Rock, yeah. The Charles S. Dutton.
Yeah.
In turn. Fuck yeah. See, there's only get a little extra something there. Right? So, yeah. Anything else Canuck-wise, or we'll see how this next week unfolds. And I guess next time you and I sit down to record, I guess we're going to be the start of the season.
Yeah, not much as, like, yeah, preseason is, even if the Canucks had gone undefeated, I would have been like, you know, we could talk about the hype levels, like, that seems pretty good, but it means nothing right now, so I don't want to dive too deep into topics about anything we've seen, because who the fuck knows what it's going to matter when the season starts, so just in terms of, like, with what we've seen, that we know that the defense is going to be by committee. You know, sure, fair enough. And offensively, you're assuming Pettersson will take another step, but then his contract's up in the air. So yeah. All the stuff that we kind of know is like just kind of floating there, hanging, waiting to see how it plays out.
If he does take another step, does he price himself out of a fucking last place hockey team? That's a very... Yeah, very depressing thought. But join us on Trust the Process next week for our Canucks undefeated celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Let's do it.
We're having a big party because they will technically be maybe tied for best team in the league with about 15 other teams or whatever. Yep. So, yeah. But we're gonna blow the doors off.
Some champagne, some baby duck. We're going to have a good time.
We're not going to talk about how many games, but the Canucks being undefeated will be something incredible to celebrate.
Now, I do want to pivot really quickly because Jay Swing, our intrepid producer, who has been a huge part of the reason why the show still goes on. Thank you, Jay. He did mention in a text to you and me that he wished he had done more with the Tupac drops.
Yeah. You know how it is where you have, like, you know, if you're even in a conversation, you think of something really good to say, like, the next day or something like that. I think Jay was listening back to the episode and mentioned that, yeah, there was a lot of good stuff, cool stuff he could have done around Tupac that, he didn't in the moment.
So, I mean, that's my challenge to Jay, if he listens, is, like, anytime I drop the word, that's pretty coolio, is my new catchphrase for the show.
Oh, that's your new catchphrase?
Yeah, that's pretty coolio. I want some Gangster's Paradise to kick in for a little bit. Just give me a little kick of that.
Nice.
I won't abuse it. I'm not going to be mean, like, you know, 30,000 times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, if it comes up and you do something, not only based on you because you don't do anything cool, but if something happens that's cool.
That just seems like a really long-winded way to insult me. Like, I don't think this is a thing you're going to do at all. I think this is all bullshit. And you just you wanted to, like, okay, I got to stick it in his ribs somehow, but I'm really going to get him to lower his guard.
Going to go to Journey.
And it worked. My Dukes were up, like, philosophical Dukes were up. Emotional Dukes.
Yep.
And then you were talking, I'm like, oh, okay. And the Dukes were, they couldn't have been any lower. And then wham, haymaker.
Boom. Would you say that was pretty cool, yeah? Let's see what happens. I see Jay swearing now.
Yes! Never expressed myself through text. I've learned
what I get for being vulnerable.
That's what I get. I came up with a new catchphrase today on At the Movies. It's a like trash talk I've never heard anybody say, but it's the new thing I'm going to bust out, and I'm telling you it's going to catch on like wildfire. Okay. So. Well, just like a sidebar of that, we were talking about, you know, kind of chirping and trash talking stuff. And in hockey, I'm not a mouthy person, but if I were to, there's a word that I use, which, like, there's no coming back from it. Now, I got to say what it is quickly, because the longer this hangs out there, people might think it's a bad word. I call people jerks.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I think subconsciously all of us were affected by Uncle Frank in Home Alone. And when he drops jerk on Kevin.
Oh, he drops it better than anyone.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That if someone hears jerk that grew up in that time, they just shut down. It's like an automatic win button. So, but instead of jerk, I've opted to go with this new one next time someone runs afoul of me in hockey. I'm going to go tell him to fuck a bag of shit.
Okay. I mean, that's a gross visual, but it works. Yeah.
Right? It's two swear words. It's two for the price of one.
Yeah. No, that's solid. I mean, it takes you also on a journey. We're doing a lot of journeys today, which
that's right. Yeah.
You know what? Without context, can we go to the next level? Have just a picture of the band Journey?
Yes, absolutely. We can. Why? That's the fun thing about this show. Who are our bosses?
That's right. We are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sure. Guys, I don't think you should have posted a picture of the band Journey in your spoilers without context. Hey, that person, that voice, that character that I just did immaculately, doesn't exist for us. Ain't no one telling us what to do. In fact,
can we do this hold on. Oh, because this is our show. I just thought, like, I want to give you a catchphrase based on your chips. Like, can you tell me? I'm going to say something and just say, let the chips fall where they may. But, like, in a very dramatic tone. So I'm going to say something to you and just respond with that. Are we ready for this?
1 second. Yeah, man, I'm good.
I don't know what time the ice maker is going to arrive. It could be tomorrow. It could be next day. It could be next week. I don't know what's going on, man.
Hey.
Yeah.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Love it. All right.
Yeah.
Good. There we go. That felt good.
Yeah. I felt something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell it's preseason. That's what.
All right. Here's
I
our
just
new picture
you make the
here's
stretching sign for me.
Phrases for this season. Fuck a bag of shit.
That's pretty cool, yo.
Nailed it. New official band is Journey. So, yep. Cool. Well, do you want to talk a little Sixers? There's some Sixers stuff floating around.
Yeah, we got to deal with the Harden thing
every
time it comes up.
Someone's got to, and it's us. All right. 76ers, let's go. All right, so word came out, I think it was it Woj or Shams? I think it was Woj, who said that James Harden, this week, the Sixers were having training camp in Colorado, hanging out with Coach Prime, rubbing elbows. How cool was that? James Harden was going to report to Sixers training camp, apparently with the desire and goal to cause a scene and make things so uncomfortable for them that they have to trade him to the Clippers. How did we get here?
If you had told me after, what was it, game one or two, where he dropped that fucking three-pointer on Boston.
Over 40. Yeah, it goes over 40.
Yeah, and if you had told me then that, you know, within a couple months' time, you're going to view James Harden as worse than Ben Simmons, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have believed you.
And that's
and he is now.
From me who was like who hated Harden before this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely Jay Cutler'd you on this one. Like
100%. He made me believe, and then I got a Harden jersey, no lie, hanging up in that closet right back there.
You got a Harden and a Simmons jersey.
No, Wyatt, I don't have a Harden and a Simmons jersey. I have a Harden and three Ben Simmons jerseys.
Oh, no.
And a 2018 Rookie of the Year t-shirt.
How long? Because at one point it will become ironically funny, right? So like, how many years have to pass for you can wear that and we'll be like, oh man, what a crazy time you got that Simmons jersey.
I don't know. I have my Jets Tim Tebow jersey as well. That's pretty funny. when does the Simmons jersey become ironic?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
And you get like high fives when people seeing you wear it. Like,
oh,
yeah,
bro. Yeah. Fuck, that guy sucked. Yeah. Yeah,
not there yet,
question. No, we're not there yet. No.
I mean, the thing with Harden's doing now is the worst Ben Simmons did was, like, I think he practiced the phone in his pocket. Remember those good old days?
Oh, and just the look on his face. I remember those days were crazy because every single day Embiid's like, I'm not babysitting this guy. I don't care about him. Like, that was dysfunction at its finest for this team. What a time to be alive. Oh.
But it's going back towards that because, like, if Harden comes in and makes a scene, that's worse than what Simmons did. And that makes it a problem for the players. Like, I know him and Embiid are on good terms, but I feel like eventually he's getting to the point where Embiid's just going to, like, take care of business.
Yeah.
Like, imagine what more of a hero could be if he just, like, shoved, like, grabbed Harden by the throat and, like, chokeslammed him after he tried to, like, come in a fat suit and, like, the juggling
balls.
Stop being
a bitch.
Yeah. Be incredible.
Because, I mean, it's just such a fucked up scenario now. Like, it's just... And if I'm the general manager, I'm just not trading him at all at this point.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the thing. Daryl Morey is not going to be fucking pushed around. Right?
No. So. Elton Brand's like, sure, do what you got to do, but Morey's not.
Coangelo would have been like, oh, yeah, absolutely, do it. So here's the thing, courtesy of Woj, James Harden wants a trade. He wants to make the 76ers uncomfortable. So uncomfortable, ultimately, that they don't think they'll get the best out of him and make a trade. So that's how this week has kind of started to unfold. But apparently he's been like, I'm not saying ripping it up, but I was very intrigued to see what kind of commotions he'd be causing. No, he's been there. His attitude's been decent-ish. Apparently, he challenged the starters to a pickup game with the bench players.
Pulling the Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I think it was described as like MJ-esque for that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they lost. I'm just like, it's going to be on the score, but I was reading about this earlier. I'm just trying to double check. Oh, yeah. James Harden leads bench team to disappointing result in training camp.
Did he really? Like, Jimmy Butler backed his fucking words up. You can't do that and not pull it off.
Harden and the bench team lost to the starters 21-3. Oh, this is a fake thing. Oh, no.
Oh, God damn it. You got me going. Another journey, but a bad one this time. God
yeah.
damn it.
Oh, no.
That was not Coolio, you son of a bitch.
All right. But he's been there. He's been participating. Nick Nurse, coached Nick Nurse. That hasn't sunk in yet.
That's weird.
It really is. And I think like Daniel House was like, oh, yeah, like Doc Rivers had everybody like, we was catering to like the stars and stuff, and it was built around singularities. Whereas like Nick Nurse is great; he's involving like everybody. Everybody's involved in things. Because how many fucking Sixers games did you and I watch where the opposing team figured it out? And okay, we're just gonna take away Embiid, and yep, you've kind of got nothing else. And they keep trying to force it in to Embiid or Tobias Harris or something, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, I use the Bills as a good example. Once they started kind of, you know, joshing and hucking all game long, but if eventually teams figure that out and take it away, then he's just forcing it, and then he loses games.
Yeah.
And this year it's been completely different. So it was a team game, spread it out and get more involved, and all of a sudden you've got more options. So I think, you know, obviously Nick Nurse from Toronto, that was like his MO because they didn't have a lot of stars for many of those years, and he had to use everyone. It probably played right into that. So for him to come to Philly where... Especially with the future in Philly being like, who knows? Like this, the window could be done already.
And yeah,
could want out. Harden could want out.
Yeah,
right. Like it could be the next stage at this point. So having someone like Nurse to either try and guide this stage to the next level or pick up the next stage, that's, you know, it's a solid bet, honestly.
Yeah, that's actually a really good transitional coach to have in that instance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but obviously none of the players have been like, oh yeah, he's been a fucking dickhead here. Everyone's saying all the right things and. There's still a vocal minority that feels that, oh, he's going to be playing for the 76ers this year regardless. Like, apparently the Clippers are accumulating and working on, like, draft capital and have been kind of communicating with other teams, allegedly, trying to figure out how multi-team this deal has to be for them to get James Harden, which is fantastic because, yes, create that market so Daryl Morey can, like, hold out. I think he would fucking sit him all season. Didn't care.
Yeah, it didn't help him to
move
for no reason. So yeah, let him sit and win that one. Otherwise, that's just, I don't know. I feel like that opens up the door to a lot of people kind of acting out that way to try and get your way. With
oh
it.
Yeah,
so I gotta make a stand here.
Yeah, Adam Silver's got to be watching this, going,
yep.
Don't you fucking dare! If you give into this after, you know, Houston had to give into his fat suit nonsense back in the day, like. This guy specifically still. And here's the thing. He could pull that shit in Houston several years ago because of who he was. And he was still like a top tier superstar level player. I mean, he's still a superstar, but he's not what he was.
No.
And that's why we're in this position in the first place is because his market value just wasn't there.
Yeah, it would be like Gary Payton making demands on the Lakers. Like, relax, Gary.
Like Gary Payton making demands now.
Yeah.
All right, Glove, settle down. Yeah, good run here, but we're holding out to see what Muggsy Bogues is thinking.
Clyde Drexler, where are you at?
I'm so pissed there hasn't been another Muggsy Bogues. That just goes to show you how fucking great he was. Like, there hasn't been another super crazy skilled 5-foot-nothing dude that, I'm not going to say takes the NBA by storm, because it's not like the... Charlotte Hornets won any championships or anything, but like him, Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning, like that was a fucking, you said the Bulls are the team of the 90s. Okay. I saw that Charlotte Hornets starter jacket
so
making
nice.
The rounds
the best one, yeah.
recently. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Team of the 90s Bulls. Sure. But something about those Charlotte Hornets from back then.
Oh yeah, even the Magic in the middle of the 90s had a kind of a weird... They had a lot of fun vibe behind them with Shaq.
They did. Oh yeah, really did, that was an excellent 30 for 30.
That was
this
great,
Magic moment, I quite enjoyed that. Do you have any other 30 for 30s that you really liked?
The Red Sox one.
Oh, 4 days in
Yankees.
October?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't. I've rewatched it one every year. Just it sucks that, like, Chilling is so terrible as a person now. Because back then, like, it was kind of fun. The blood was a hero.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I wish this guy could be like, you know, like take him out with the black circle.
Yeah.
But it's just unfortunate. But the whole story, just like beating the Yankees, was so incredible.
I remember watching those games unfold. And Dave Roberts, man.
You couldn't write that up. The fact that Mariano Rivera blew two saves and like Dave Roberts stealing things, like him just kind of like getting in his head and then Ortiz coming through every time.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And the pitching, like Tim Wakefield recently just passed away the last couple of days. Like that was heartbreaking news. He was such a big part of that. Like, he's a weird knuckleballer. I remember him having huge moments. Like, yeah, I love that. I love that team, the 2004 team. Just a bunch of, as they just self-described.
Johnny Damon.
Yeah. Long hair, Johnny Damon.
Not the horrible Yankee version. Yeah, shave them sideburns. Yeah. Johnny Damon from the New York Yankees. That's a really good 30 for 30. You know, as a 30 for 30 that I watched that I thought was really interesting was the Duke lacrosse scandal one. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
When you think of the Duke lacrosse scandal, what like comes to your head? Like, what's your zeitgeist view on that story?
What was the scandal? I don't remember anymore.
It was like a sexual assault scandal.
Was it the team was involved?
Yeah,
in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I honestly just don't remember. All so, right. Like, yeah, I remember it was just the horrifying like group nature of it is what I remember. Right?
So, Well, that's actually kind of good. That kind of illustrates the point a little bit. So my thoughts on the Duke lacrosse scandal, like I didn't pay a lot of attention to that story when it was happening, but I just kind of walk around with going, oh, yeah, there were some players that were caught sexually assaulting like strippers at a party or whatever. It's all bullshit. Like, they didn't do it. And the documentary, the 30 for 30, is about, like, kind of the unfolding of that investigation and all, like, the semi, like, shady shit that went on to try and incriminate these dudes and just the case unraveling. But the weird thing about it is, like, I never knew those details. So if I hadn't watched the 30 for 30, I would have still gone, oh, yeah, the Duke lacrosse players.
Well, I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah. That was a pretty interesting one. And then, I didn't much care for the Flair one. I know you didn't either.
No, I have no time.
Want to talk a little football?
Let's do it.
Yeah, well, let's do it. All right, so we talked football last week, but it didn't make it into the show because it was too hot. The takes, the stuff that we went is too controversial. There was just a technical issue and we lost that that segment. But it's been even more controversial, I think, over the last week. We joked about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce situation last week. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, folks, I know you've been seeing a lot of jokes out there, hearing a lot of jokes. The ones that we were trotting out on this very podcast were stuff
cutting
of legend.
Edge, original.
Yeah. Fresh.
You know,
yeah.
Just so good.
Even the person who's the most exhausted, I don't want to hear any more Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce jokes. I fucking heard them all. Even that hypothetical person would have been like, they've got the goods over there.
Yeah, these guys did it.
These guys did it.
Crack of the bat. That's
a home
run.
I'm back in.
Yeah, give me more.
But then the Chiefs played the Jets on Sunday Night Football. This was the Taylor Swift game. Oh, she's going to be there, and Blake Lively's going to be there. First of all, hilarious that Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds were both together there, and no one gives a shit.
Yep.
Incredible. Yep. The star power of
Wolverine and Deadpool
Taylor Swift.
Didn't matter.
Yeah, Wolverine. They could have been in costume as Wolverine and Deadpool, and he'd be like, yeah. Oh, look, she reacted to a holding penalty against Travis Kelce. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say a lot of people feel the Jets got hosed in that game. Did you watch any of it?
There was a lot of holding going on that maybe they could have written a song about holding. Would have been great. I watched it. Look, I'm a Bills fan. I can't say that I don't think it's every time I see the Chiefs play that they get a lot of calls to go in their way. So I don't know if I'm the most biased person to talk about it. God damn, those Chiefs get a lot of things to go in their way.
This is the second time in the first 4 weeks that a primetime Chiefs game has been called out for its officiating. Because don't forget a fella who was continually offside in the Detroit game to start the season. And commentators, pundits, everyone was like, why the fuck aren't they calling this every single play? The guy gets a massive jump. Now, since then, he has become the most penalized player in the league, which I think is hilarious because, like, they just put that on full display. So they're
spot checked him.
Oh, they absolutely did. So now they're calling everything on this guy. But the hold against was it was Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
The defense, the pass interference, the defensive hold, and then the non-call hold on the Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes' big little scramble. So two major, major, major plays that are just awful calls. Just
yeah.
Yeah,
so Chiefs get that, and now they've got even more star power behind them. Like, I don't think they're getting another penalty ever again. I'm worried.
Well, the conspiracy theories are coming out now that like this is all a publicity stunt, and the NFL is trying to like they'll be advertising Taylor Swift's concert movie that she's got coming out for her like Eras tour that comes out, I think, like next week or something, and that they're willing to air commercials for it for free in an attempt to possibly curry favor and get her to do the halftime show one of these years.
Who's doing it again this year? It's
okay. That's good. I want to we could transition talk to this too. It's fucking Usher who's doing
it. Oh, it's Usher. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Which I think is a terrible choice.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Maybe they have Tay-Tay and Speed Dial like, hey, Usher, you're sick now. Get in here, Tay-Tay.
Yeah,
maybe
we're trying
to
hope that he disappears. No, and this is maybe my lack of familiarity. I don't think Usher is a huge draw, one. Two, I'm not familiar with his song catalog beyond, like, you know,
what's that Little John
you remind
started.
Me, and yeah, which is a fucking banger. Okay, yeah, like,
Little John
respect,
did his job.
That's nuts. But it's like, he's got 15 minutes or whatever. What's he going to do? My ideal one was Foo Fighters. I think Foo Fighters would be an excellent halftime show.
I feel Usher's got to cameo the shit out of this one, right?
Yeah, like right? Yes,
he's
has
to. Do that. Because
Usher alone in 2023, no fucking way he's got the star power.
Like song 4 of Usher, you're like, what the fuck? You're putting up your fucking Shazam trying to figure out what song he's playing? Like,
you're all
I don't
like,
know if we want...
I thought this was D'Angelo. Wait, this might be a cover he's doing of a D'Angelo song.
Yeah. No, he needs to bring in star power, otherwise that's going to be, not my favorite.
So who's Usher boys with? Like, who do we think?
Well, Justin Bieber. He could get Justin Bieber. That would be pretty big.
Yeah, and you know what? Bieber, I think it seems like he's disappeared from the musical limelight for a while, so that'd be a big, like, Michael Jackson with NSYNC or with Justin Timberlake type moment, yeah.
Could be a good payday for that. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's going to beat Lady Gaga for halftime shows.
Is that your ultimate...
She jumped off the goddamn roof, man. I don't care what she played. She just jumped off and said, I'm not playing anymore and left. I'm like, that's good.
Yeah.
Good enough for me.
I was just here to do the jump, everybody.
Yeah.
My little monsters. I'm just here to do the jump.
Yeah. So, I'm a free bitch, baby. I'm out of here.
Oh, yeah, but another 14 minutes? All right.
Here's Usher. No.
Someday I'm going to do this no matter what. Well, I thought the one 2 years ago with Dr. Dre and Eminem and Mary J. Blige.
That was awesome.
That was fucking awesome. And everyone knew that was going to be awesome and incredible. There was such excitement for that Super Bowl halftime show. Who was it last year? Rihanna.
Yeah, hers was unremarkable. Yeah. I think she was pregnant at the time. It makes sense. Yeah. She can do much, but it was, and she's got good hits, but I didn't. It's just Lady Gaga set the bar so high. I don't know.
And then,
I know you're pregnant, but you can still jump off a building safely.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
And who what?
Sure,
maybe that expedites things, and then now the baby comes up.
We're doctors on the show.
So we got multi-layer, like, dangling people.
We've named the child Super Bowl.
Middle name is 51. Yeah, Super Bowl 51, Gaga. So, it's disappointing. Because I think they're due for a rock band, too. And it's like, well, it's in Vegas this year, so I think I saw somebody positing, oh, what about the Killers? Which I think would be, like, thematically good, but I don't think the Killers have that worldwide Super Bowl halftime show appeal. And I just think I don't feel that Usher does, in my opinion. Like, Coldplay doing it, like, makes sense. Okay, yeah, they're a big, you know, they're a stadium band. But Usher is a stadium act? No, man.
He's a Rogerina guy.
Come on. Oh, he's the Abbotsford Center,
And then Agrodome.
Here comes the CFL who gets Green Day for the Grey Cup halftime.
Yeah, that's surprising. Yeah. They're going to play Holiday. I'd be so excited.
Green Day would have been a good choice. I could see them doing the Super Bowl. Yeah.
I don't know if Egos are involved, but it'd be like, obviously Egos can always play their part in it, but like if they got even just like, you know, a big old classic rock one, just had Metallica, AC/DC,
Guns N' Roses,
like, and just had like spotlights, different section of it, like that, for just like what the Super Bowl is, it being like a big moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, you'd remember that. Remember the fucking, all those guys were there at one fucking show, like that would stand out.
Yeah. Remember
more
when,
than Usher. Remember when Usher was there?
Like, I'm saying this, I'm just really dogging this thing months before it even happens, but could this be the most, without cameos, the most unremarkable Super Bowl halftime show ever.
But that's, and I'm going to tell you one thing, though.
Yeah, Weeknd got trapped in a hall of mirrors. That's great.
I know. That's it lives on in meme infamy. Oh, like, yeah. he booked himself in the archives. Like, that was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where am I? Yeah, so good. But, I mean, Usher's also got a good meme, too. He does have, yeah. They both have good meme ability. But I will say that when the bar is so low for us that, like, he can do nothing but exceed at this point.
Yeah.
Right? I think at this point, I'll be like, hey, you know what? No One Caught in Fire. Pretty good.
Yep. any other like big NFL storylines? We're about a quarter of the, or not a quarter of the way, but we're four weeks into the season. Some teams are for real. Some you got to be happy with the Bills.
The Dolphins fan base is so like just have this weird idea that they're like they have the kind of attitude that the Patriots fans could do if they wanted to. Like they could like they have that level of like they're acting as if they've won everything in the world, the best team ever. I couldn't go a day without hearing about how they're going to destroy them. Oh, Waddle's back. You're dead. You're fucked. Tyreek's the best in the league. No one can stop him. Mm-hmm. And then the Bills shove it down their fucking throats. Just made him look amateur hour. Just shut him down. I don't want to get too deep in the strategy of the Bills, but I will say having two tight ends to fucking block shit is a delight.
Yeah.
If you can get two giant farm boys to anchor your sides, do it because it is delightful. Dalton and Dawson. Like, they just have these country names, too. It's so good.
These two hick twins.
Yeah, the good old boys. Just fucking blocking it. Give some chip blocks in there to help out the front line. You know, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, you know, nice. It's as a huge win for the Bills, and I'd say did wonders for turning that season around. I know it's still super, super early, but you got Stephon Diggs, like, kind of going, I don't know about this, and people worried about him just possibly asking out and thinking their window is closed. And then, yeah, I don't think there's a more important win for any team this season than the Bills beating the Dolphins after a week after the Dolphins hung 70 on a team.
Yeah, you lose to Zach Wilson, you're going to have some people questioning you. The Bills' first game was, you know, the worst of Josh Allen in his tendencies, but to his credit, like, they locked it in, like, fuck that, stop forcing it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you lose to Zach Wilson, you've got to come back and win the big games. Then you have no more games to give away, really, and they came back huge. And, again, it was fun to watch, man. I love these Bills.
Yep. Yep. Let's see. So the Chiefs are getting help from the refs. I want another Chiefs-Bills AFC title game. I think that'd be fantastic. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Can we just say that no one should ever try and sign a fucking New England quarterback to a huge deal? Like, yeah. Belichick, if it's a Belichick quarterback, that's a system thing. Just leave him alone.
Yeah.
Don't pay a lot of money for that.
He knows how to. He's Paul Heyman. He can accentuate the strengths and hide the flaws like no other.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would be so afraid to sign anyone from that team.
Oh, man. That Daniel, speaking of signing, that Daniel Jones contract right now. Oof. There are some contracts in the NFL right now.
And Baker Mayfield lighting it up is one of the most delightful stories.
I love this.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely great, especially because Tampa Bay is like, well, Tom Brady's gone, so we're going to be shitty again. It's like, no, they
Baker's
built
like, fuck that.
A team to protect a pocket passer like Tom Brady, right? So I'm not going to say you just plop anybody in there, but if you plop anybody in there with any sort of upside potential that hasn't capped out at all into that situation, they're going to do well, and it couldn't have happened to I'm not going to say a more deserving candidate, but seeing it with Baker Mayfield this season has been quite something.
It's just nice because how many quarterbacks go to, you know, the Browns and their fucking careers seem to die. So it's nice to kind of see him survive that and come back and like just playing really, really well. Like it's and like he's helping these wins. He's not just sitting there and just like not partaking. Like he's a huge part of these wins, right? So
yeah, he's not a game manager here, right? He's
He's actually doing it, right? So yeah, that's another documentary I saw. It wasn't on I don't know. I don't think it was 30 or 30, but it was the one on Johnny Football. Like that was
on Netflix.
Really,
I haven't watched it, but I'm really, really intrigued. And I'm gonna watch it soon. That because I hear it's quite good. They did a football one with. Was it Florida? Was it the Gators?
I watched the three-parter of that.
Urban Meyer or something.
Yep.
And it was just a big fucking
PR.
Circle jerk.
Yeah, PR. It was all PR. There was nothing. They didn't touch on anything that would be like kind of. It's kind of that's why, you know, we talk about the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. Like they kind of were, it's like, didn't get real with it. So you're kind of like, which is why I like the one on Elton John a lot better. That was more fun, kind of kept real. And like any of the documentaries that don't go to like, you know, the good and the bad sides, you're just kind of wasting our time, to be honest.
Right. Yeah. Anything else football-wise you want to dig into? You want to talk about Coach Prime at all?
That's just anything that gets eyes on you know, your particular industry is a good thing. And he's done, like, he talks a big game, but he also, like, was the first one to say, like, don't attack that guy for injuring our kid. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, he keeps it real on both sides. Like, he wants to win. He can trash talk with the best of them, but he also can eat his own medicine, and he can, like, you know, he can still be a really good purveyor of the game. So it's, you know, Deion Sanders is one of my favorite players growing up. So to watch him kind of have the second resurgence has been an absolute delight. And it's such a fun story. Like, this is a college no one gave a shit about, right? Like, it meant nothing. And they already have more eyes on them. You got celebrities going to the game. Like, it's just a fun time period. Like, they are doing a 30 for 30 as we speak. Like, they are creating it before your eyes. You'll be watching this in 8 years.
Unfold. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Well, we'll go into halftime here, and then we'll come back with a little Captain's Corner. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
First, he took you on a fantastic voyage to Gangsta's Paradise. Now, Coolio bears his soul. My Soul, featuring the hit singles Ooh La La and See You When You Get There. Coolio's finest album ever. Coolio, My Soul. In stores, August 26th.
I'm bluer than Muskway's shoes.
This will make you feel good. Hey!
Mercy. That's Bruce, baby.
One flew party at the county jail. Jane Brown was there and he began to wail. When Nelson's riding on his own six string, Coolio was dropping our hip-hop playing. Let's run. Everybody, let's run.
That's right.
Everybody,
yeah, yeah.
Sunday at 6:30, 5:30 Central, on a never-before-seen Muppets Tonight. The Muppets want to learn how to rap? Sounds like a job for...
Chili Vanilli.
Actually, we were thinking of calling Coolio.
Hey, Coolio. Just wondering if you could show us how to become a cool rapper like you.
But even he may not be able to help these two.
You guys want to be bad, huh?
No. We're already bad. We want to be good.
Find out what happens on a never-before-seen Muppets Tonight, Sunday at 6:30, 5:30 Central on Disney.
Anytime's a great time for a cold, refreshing Mike's.
Really? Even while we're eating?
Even if there was a secret cult meeting or a really old sailor accused you of cheating.
Cheater!
You see, Mike's is great because anything goes, with friends or with foes. Now put on these clothes.
Why?
Don't ask why. I just want you to know that Mike's would go great at a Coolio show.
Wow, who knew?
I did, now you do. Also, Mike's is great when you're on a boat, too.
Say yeah!
It's never not a good time for a refreshing Mike's.
All right, we are back. It is Trust the Process. Jordan Bowman here with Wyatt Arndt, the stanchion. It is hour two, and we're kicking it off with a segment that has perhaps the, would you say it's the best theme music ever?
It's clearly the best in the world.
All right, best in the world. It's not Living Color, A Cult of Personality. It's time for Captain's Corner. Wyatt, you hot off the return of the show last week, you succeeded in doing something to me that bores into my brain and then just comes out in a random moment that causes me to be disappointed in myself. I told you I was out for a run last week, and the day after we recorded the show, and I just randomly, as I was out there running, thought, I can't fucking believe I didn't know Liam Neeson was in Love Actually.
Yeah, it's
stuck with me, man.
Which is great for me. That's my brand.
I know it is. And I was thinking about not sharing that with you because I'm just reporting back that, hey, good job. Your torment works.
You're going to get a Liam Neeson DVD for Christmas.
I'm sure. Oh, man. Get a cameo. What's this?
Oh, my God.
I'm familiar with my work. I have a particular set of skills. Yeah.
I love it. Well, you know, we came back last week and a lot of people were nice enough to say that we hit the ground running. It's like we hadn't missed a beat. I preach that. I really do appreciate that. But I just feel like, don't wince. See, I feel like we've lost, we're diving a little too deep to just being coworkers.
Oh, okay.
Not best friends. And I don't want to go there. So we're going to play a little icebreakers here before we get to the trivia. I just want to get some icebreakers, get us talking a bit because I feel like we need to get into it.
Yep.
First question. These are real icebreakers I found online. What is the one article of clothing that someone could wear that would make you walk out on a date with them?
Oh.
You see that, and like whether you walk up physically or mentally, you check out, and they've got a big hill to climb to overcome that. Like, what is that piece of clothing that would?
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's yours?
Cowboy boots.
Oh, well, that's, well, shit, that's a good one. I'm not going to take that, but that's a good one.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of country music. I don't like the country. Yep. So nothing about that is what I would be into.
Yeah. Fuck, I don't know.
It could be something crazy, something mundane. I know you have a lot of weird mundane quirks.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm not, yeah.
You'd be like, a red shirt with black pants.
Yeah, like, what are you in the...
I'm not dating a Trekkie. Okay.
Yeah, what are you in the fucking wolf pack? No. Yeah. Yeah. No. I'd say perhaps, like, maybe ridiculously uncomfortable shoes. Like, I get it. Sometimes ladies like to wear, the strappy stuff, the shoes that like don't look very comfortable, and they're not, but they look great. So right on. Mm-hmm. But like medieval torture devices being on like somebody's feet or whatever for a date. I don't know, man. Like,
it give you pause.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you don't need to do this for me.
You can show up in running shoes, and I'm good with it. Like, yeah. So maybe that. I don't know. I don't feel like a great answer, but.
What's the worst style choice you ever made?
Worst style choice I ever made? Yeah. Oh, God.
What was that shirt? That was, what was it to...
What?
In the interview you had, what was the shirt?
Oh, my Croatian shirt.
It was a Croatian shirt. Too Croatian.
No, not that. That shirt was dope. I liked that a lot. That was a good shirt. I would probably say there was a period where... Oh, yeah, this is clearly it. Well, there's two. I used to rock tearaways in seventh grade, but I would only do up like the hip buttons.
Oh, no.
So everything was all just fucking dangling about because I was a fan of the boxer Hector Macho Camacho at the time.
Fair enough.
Yeah, 12-year-old fan of Hector Camacho. And a lot of his like ring gear and like he was known for his entrances and his theatricality and stuff was kind of rocking that. So those were my like Camacho pants. Or I would say one summer, I think the summer between 9th and 10th grade, peroxided my hair, dyed the hair blonde.
Yeah, you went with it.
And then I would also dye it different colors, like with like Kool-Aid and stuff. And I also had matching color tinted glasses for, I think I had blue, red, green, and orange. And I had like, my style was a matching base shirt with a black short sleeve over top. So shirt matches glasses matches hair.
Did anyone in your family say anything? Or did they give you like a look ever? Did they ever give you an arched eyebrow? And just like,
he's just expressing himself, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, that was a bold summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
Mine. Yeah. Oh fuck. Goatee era me was terrible. But like, to be fair, I couldn't grow that little part from the mustache to the beard yet. It was too young, so I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the person that had that Crosby. I couldn't
do it. Yeah.
So I rocked a goatee, but I look back and I fucking hate it so much. I'm a beard boy.
Yeah.
I should have waited it out. I should have gone clean shave until I got the beard. I should have taken a week off just to test if I could grow the beard yet, but I didn't. So yeah, I regret those that goatee era. Every time I see my old IDs, I hate it.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been told you look like someone famous, and who was it?
Yeah, I got... I used to get Ashton Kutcher a bit I was younger, had hair and was like thinner. And I think Ashton Kutcher, I've gotten when I was like younger, I got like young Tom Cruise a couple of times. And then I had an ex-girlfriend once who thought that I looked like Rupert Everett, which was weird. Which was really
okay.
Oh, I'd say like recently when before I started shaving my head and stuff, Jim Jeffries.
Oh, okay.
Was one that I would get quite a bit, and that's one where the only one where I'd be like, yeah, I can definitely see that. So yeah, how about you?
Yeah, it's not bad. I would get, yeah, when I was younger, I got Brendan Fraser a lot.
Oh, really?
I don't know how. Yeah, Brendan Fraser is the one I got the most. Like, people in the movie, I worked at a movie store, they come up to me and, like, tap, like, hey, did anyone ever tell you to look at Brendan Fraser? And, like, I was like, okay. Like, it happened more than once. I'm like, this is really weird from customers.
Yeah.
And then nowadays, it's anyone who has a beard.
Really?
Like, oh, did I see you, like, in Calgary last week? Nope. Think I have a beard? Yeah. Okay, it wasn't me.
Yo, like, you look like that guy, Jesus Christ, you look like him.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool, cool.
A couple more. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Jump in the Line by Harry Belafonte, probably. Or Viva Las Vegas by Elvis.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're ready to fire on those ones.
Dude, I enjoy karaoke.
Yeah,
and there was a time in my younger days where we went like every Sunday and Tuesday night to the Wheelhouse Pub in Surrey. Oh, my Surrey people know what I'm talking about. Sunday and Tuesday night karaoke, man. Those were the times.
The way you delivered that at the start, I thought you were going to be like, at one point I considered a career in karaoke.
No, what would we do? Me and a guy, we would do Be My Yoko Ono, but Bare Naked Ladies. A big fun one. And then every time we'd go and it was somebody's birthday, we'd do Home for a Rest by Spirit of the West. You know, super original and stuff. So, no, man, there's a karaoke period of my life, and I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your go-to karaoke song?
We're going to lean right into it. Gangsta's Paradise.
Fuck yeah! Yes! Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. There was a guy, they were like, you know, the local karaoke characters and stuff. There was a guy who we referred to as DC Slater because he did an incredible like cover of like AC/DC songs. He was awesome. There was a dude who always sang Motown stuff who we creatively referred to as Motown Man. Motown Man had a side job as though his main job was karaoke. Motown Man's day job was he was a bus driver for TransLink, which
nice.
I discovered because I went on the bus once and I saw him. I was like, hey, Motown Man, Wheelhouse Karaoke. And he covered up the thing where you put in your ticket. He's like, get on.
That's amazing.
Motown Man. And there was a dude that I absolutely despised. He sang one song. It was I Believe in a Thing Called Love by The Darkness.
Yeah, right? Solid song.
Difficult song.
Hard to sing because that's a screechy voice.
He did a great job. He does an awesome version of it. However, he does that thing where his name gets called and he pretends, hey, guys, who put this in here? Oh, come on, guys. I guess I'll do it. And apparently he had, like, rumor was he had won karaoke competitions with that song. And, yeah, would put on a big production every time when he clearly was there, wrote it in, put it in, and then pretended like somebody is, like, coercing him. I guess I'll do it if you guys want it. Fine. I fucking hated that guy. I still do.
All I can think of, like, that guy, like, we don't know, had the worst life you ever could imagine. It was all terrible. Every day was fucking hell. The only thing that got him through the week was going, I can sing this fucking Darkness song. And I just fucking loved the theatricality of it all. And, like, that was his one moment to feel alive. And he goes up there. He just wants people. He's like, oh, I don't know. You pick this one because that's the only time he can shut his brain down and enjoy feeling like who he truly is. And he gets to do it. But, yeah, that's cool. You hate him. That's cool.
You are the worst person. Wyatt, I'm about to compare you to Ghost Rider, okay? You love your Nicolas Cage. I'm going to compare you to Ghost Rider with what you just did. So I don't think about him every day and hate him every day. But over the course of the last, I don't know, maybe 15 years since this happened, and I encountered this gentleman. Yeah, I've thought about him and I've hated him. Yeah, fuck that guy. But now what you've done is made him a sympathetic character and made me the bad guy. So you know the pennant stare where Ghost Rider stares at someone and all the bad shit just all comes rushing to them at once? So now I feel awful for every instance in the last 15 years where I've thought, fuck that guy. Wyatt Arndt, you're like Ghost Rider.
Just seeing after this night at karaoke, he's so happy. He's like, oh my God, this is what it's like to be alive. And then he has to go home. And when he gets home, you can almost see him physically putting the armor back on. His shoulders slump. The light goes out of his eyes, and he just goes in the house to resume his week of death and horror.
Stop it, man. Come on. You know what's funny is we do the show, and before we press record, I feel pretty good about myself sometimes. And then we do the show, and I'm done, and I'm just like, oh, man.
What a week.
Was it the meme or the gif? I'm getting cooked.
Well, that was a good segment. I enjoyed that. See, we know each other better now.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Poor guy just sitting there. And, like, you just know that he sees you look at him, give him a bit of a look. He's like, oh, he doesn't like this. But he's like, I got to do this for myself. It's all I got. But part of him is always going to be like, why does that guy hate me so much? So, this is just...
So I'm trying to figure out why you're still talking about this when I thought I made it pretty fucking clear that I this hurts and I would like you to stop.
I'm sorry. It's just this podcast is the only bright light of my week, and I'm sorry that I'm...
Well, you know what? Fuck a bag of shit.
There you go.
Go fuck a bag of shit, Wyatt.
Hey, that's pretty cool, yo.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life, and I realize there's nothing left. I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. I never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Made me treat her like a punk. Well, you know, it's unheard of. Better watch how you're talking or where you're walking. Or you and your homies may be lying to Chuck. I really hate to trip, but I got a lock. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Ooh. Cause I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, singing prayers in the streetlights. You're spending most of your lives living in a gangster's paradise. You're spending most of your lives living in a gangster's paradise.
Stop it! All right, so we got to the quiz here.
Yeah.
You are a movie buff. You own the second most popular movie podcast in Vancouver behind my own.
Oh, God, that's generous.
You enjoy talking about movies. You know a bit about movies. An aficionado, I would say.
Oh, Cody had a go.
What happened?
On Twitter.
I didn't see this.
Oh, he tweeted the Trust the Process account. Cody took a shot. Give me one second. I'll
say?
Pull it up here.
Cody's my backup writer for the Stanchies. What's he doing?
Well, he is clearly having your back here. He's like, quote, Ghibli? What's that? Oh, like those Miyazaki movies? I've never seen one of them. You host a movie podcast, bro. SMFH. And then LeBron looking up GIF at what the fuck?
Boom. That's my boy.
So,
he got you.
Hey, he did. Everybody gather around and look at Cody, the man who's seen every movie ever made. So he's able to take that stance against somebody.
Didn't you beat him in a Simpsons quiz? He's probably holding a grudge.
I destroyed him in a Simpsons quiz. I think it came down to like just one. But here's how I'm going to change the historical narrative. Oh,
yeah,
they should have stopped that at seven questions. This is over. Stop the fight.
Dead.
Stop the fight. So yeah, he came at me. He had to go. So yeah, I like movies.
Yeah. So we're going to do a movie quiz. I'm going to I have a selection of movies here. And I have the cast and crew in front of me, and I'm just going to give you character names, and you need to know how many you think. Well, no, not how many, like on average, do you think it's going to take you to get the movie based
on
the characters?
All right,
So we'll see how good you do. So are you ready?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds fun.
It sounds fun now.
Somehow it's going to turn me into a someone who hates himself more. But
we got again, if the last name is too obvious, I'm not going to use the last name. I'm not trying to be extra hard, but this
I get you. You're coming up with new games. You got to feel it out sometimes. You don't want it to be too easy, right?
Okay. First of all, it'll be next impossible. The name's just Tom. If you get it, you get one guess each name. Tom is the character name, not the actor name. The character name.
So Tom is the character name in a movie?
Yes. Cody says you should have had this by now.
Dude, you have a movie podcast, bro. SMFH. Hey, Cody, what's that stand for? Tom. I'm going to just go with Love Actually. Just try and play it safe. Try and play the, you play the man, not
well
the game.
Well done. That's very smart, but no, it's not.
What is it?
Next one is Katie.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Incorrect. Next name, Ed.
Ed TV.
No, you're so excited. That is not it.
Are you going to tell me what they are?
I'll tell you the movie once. Like, I'm still getting a chance to get it. You got two more names to get it.
Oh, sorry. This is all from the same movie.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So you get Fossil Elimination. So the names again, Tom, Katie, Ed.
Tom, Katie, and Ed.
Yes, the game is more plausible now versus I'm saying one name, guess the movie.
That's, and here's the thing. I thought for real that that's the game you came with, and I'm like, I'm going to give it my best shot.
I can do this.
That's so be- Tom, Katie, and Ed. One more character.
Genie.
Oh, Jesus. Something came to me. It was Genie. It was Genie that did it. Can I have another name?
I'm gonna leave this one. I'm moving to
Dirty
movie.
Dancing.
Sit in that. I'm gonna let you sit in that one for a bit.
Okay.
I'll answer the rest of them, but that one I wanted to just percolate in your brain.
Oh no!
All right. First name is Mac.
Cars.
Dylan.
Mac and Dylan. Next name.
Blaine.
Oh, is ski school? Ski patrol?
Incorrect. Poncho.
Chips?
Last one, Dutch.
Oh, fuck. Predator.
Yes, correct.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Next one.
All right.
Melissa.
Okay.
Riddle.
Mm. Okay.
Woodstock.
Okay.
Emilio.
I don't know.
This one will let you get it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Say you're a coward, just so I need to hear
I'm
it.
I'm a pathetic coward.
Yeah.
I added Einhorn. The pathetic. You just said to say I'm a coward.
Yeah,
I?
But you gave it to me. Yeah. Thank you. That's a good coward. Einhorn.
Oh. Ace Ventura.
That is correct. Incorrect. I need the full name, sir. Please
Ace Ventura, colon, pet detective.
Thank you. All right. Next one, sir. Tommy.
Train spotting.
Haywood.
Okay.
Boggs.
Okay.
Brooks.
Oh, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, yeah, that's the fucking name of the
Brooks. Yeah. Well, Brooks was there. This is strangely difficult. I don't know if my brain just isn't wired for this right now. I don't know.
Well, let's try one. I'll give you the actual, give you the last names. I'm giving you just like first names, right? Like,
well, some of them don't have last names. Yeah, I feel like, you know, like Predator, I probably should have gotten one or two earlier.
Yeah. Alice Marshall.
Okay.
Ivan Korshinov.
Okay.
Catherine Bennett.
Okay.
James Marshall.
James Marshall. What Women Want?
Nope. Agent Gibbs.
Another one?
Major Caldwell.
Again?
NSA advisor Jack Doherty.
Oh, I don't know.
Press Secretary Melanie Mitchell.
I don't know.
Chief of Staff Lloyd Shepard.
I don't know. Is it what?
President James Marshall.
I don't know.
Air Force One.
Oh. Oh, wow.
I did not think it would take that long for you to get that one. You're all spiteful. I don't know.
Well, because I know the deeper we're getting, the easier this should have been. And I was just more and more embarrassed as we went, and that came up as frustration. God.
I feel like Air Force One's going to settle into your brain now.
Yep. It's already in there.
Oh, I really like that one.
I hope you come with Melanie Carmichael at some point. Oh, you mean Felony Melanie, yeah.
Charlie.
Okay.
Slider.
Okay.
Carol.
Yep.
Hollywood.
Oh, Top Gun.
Well done, yep, yep.
Yeah, 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 Charlie.
Andy.
Toy Story.
Steph.
Nope.
Jake.
Nope.
Rosalita.
Nope.
Troy.
Oh, High School Musical? Nope.
Mikey.
Troy, Mikey. Nope.
Brand.
Oh, shit.
It's there.
Oh, it's there.
I can see it.
Ah.
That's a good game.
No, it's not. It hurts. Another.
It'll give it away, honestly.
Brand, what the? Where is this? This dumb brain tonight. I don't know.
Okay, moving on. We're gonna let you sit in that one too.
Wow. Well, the first one was like Ed and something. All movie with, oh, Katie was one. Ed and Katie. Well, you've got me multiple ones I now need to think about.
All right. We got Evelyn Williams.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are you getting a home run? I thought you were going to hit on the first one.
No, holy. I was. Okay. We've seen so many movies. You're going to want to cycle through in your brain.
Courtney Rawlinson.
Okay.
Craig McDermott.
Nope.
David Van Patten.
Nope.
Timothy Brace.
Nope.
Donald Kimball.
Oh, Fugitive? No, it was Richard Kimball.
Yeah.
Nope. I think all you're going Harrison Ford. What if they're all Harrison Ford ones?
Yeah, is there a theme to this?
Yeah.
Paul Allen.
Nope.
I can't. The last one will give it away, so I can't. Oh. That's it. That's another one. Yeah.
I'm so bad at this game. But you know what? I'm going to wear it. I'm struggling.
It's so different from the actor's name because the character name is just, yeah. Justine.
Okay.
Nate.
Okay.
Neil McCauley.
Oh. Fuck!
Oh, man, this is a nightmare.
Oh, this is a nightmare. Nope.
I'm going to give it away. We're moving on. Oh, four. You got four floaters.
That's a lot of names. So one was Katie and one was McDonough or... Oh.
Conrad.
Conair? No.
Nicholas Van Orton.
Oh, The Game.
Well done. Well done.
Hey, funny. I just watched The Game, I think, in July for the first time ever.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. It worked out perfectly for you.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
Okay. And yeah.
Last one. Last one.
No, let's end it there.
No, last one. Okay. Are you ready, sir? Yep. William Barnes.
Oh. Next one.
Lawson.
Next one.
Marty Sotil.
Next one.
Rick Marichak.
All right. I'm getting farther away. Next one.
Bobby Doherty.
Bobby Doherty? Oh, that's The Town? No.
No. Oh, you're going to...
Bobby
you're going to regret what you just did. You're going to be so sad.
I know that fucking name. Departed?
Oh, you're going to be so sad.
No, what is it?
This is a dick phone moment.
Bobby Doherty. I know. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Best live reaction I've ever
had. Oh. Oh, sweet Jesus.
I cannot believe what just happened. I'm good at what I do.
Well, if it's Crimson Tide, it's Bobby Doherty is how it's pronounced.
Well, it's close enough. Don't get snatched with me now that you want to.
Oh. What were the names again?
Benfield, Lawson, Marty Sotil, Helmsman is down there. And then I didn't give like Ramsey or Hunter because
it's too tough. Well, I think there's a litany of characters you couldn't have used there that I would have gotten.
Yeah, like Zimmer, Cobb, and Webster were all at the top.
Oh, yeah, Cobb, like Zimmer I would have probably gotten. So, okay.
You got four floaters. Maybe people listening to the show can help you out. And
we're just going to let this sit then, are we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to sit there. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Captain's Corner.
Can you text me just the three of them or the four of them and then I'll think about it? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Whatever you've shared, not the ones that you've omitted because it's too easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm appropriately humbled. You saw me do really good at that brand game with the logos.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, I got to get this fucker back down to earth.
Yeah, like Cody, attack him online. I'll work on behind the scenes. We got a plan.
Getting it from all sides here. All right. anything else for Captain's Corner? Or are we?
No, I feel this is perfect. This is a great Captain's Corner. I got nothing else.
All right. Well, that's pretty much going to do it for the show. We're not doing questions from Twitter yet. We'll see when the show when we get up going in our regular season time. Yeah. For now, is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we go? Just,
you know, that's pretty cool, yo.
Oh, there it is again.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing for so, so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. And I ain't never crossed a man who didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying and talking. I really hate to trip, but I gotta look. As I croak, I see myself in that pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be, like on my knees in the night saying prayers in the street light. Been spending most their lives living in the gangster's paradise. Been spending most their lives living in the gangster's paradise. Keep spending most our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Keep spending most our lives living in the gangster's paradise.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of Trust the Process. We are part of the Hockey Podcast Network. You can catch the show on iTunes, Spotify, and nearly everywhere else you get your podcasts. If you're listening on iTunes, don't forget, leave a rating, leave a review. Wyatt Arndt's putting some skin in the game. He's got Starbucks GCs on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
$10. Whatever drink you want. Get a fancy drink, $10.
Oh, a fancy one. If you want to be part of the process, follow at TTP Show Van on Twitter. Keep your eye out for the call for questions once the regular season starts. Thanks to Save On Meats for giving us the platform back in the day to do the show. Thanks to producer Jay Swing for, all that he does. Jay Swing kills it regularly. If you want to hear more from me, you can subscribe and follow At The Movies 10 Years Later. Myself and my childhood friend Janine watch and review whatever movie was number one at the box office 10 years ago. I guess Wyatt would say that that is a spinoff of his fake show that he has. He also has a movie podcast, which semi-exists.
It's 9.5 years at the movie later. It's been going on for at least...
Title's
33
not,
years.
Title's not even structured right.
Yeah, it's perfect. Again, we've been having a bit of issue with the host of the show. Me and Paris aren't talking right now. Cubano, bring it back, or else not get to host the podcast with me again. So this week I had another, celebrity guest host. Helen Hunt joined us on the show.
Yeah. Nice.
The movie wasn't, the most fun movie to talk about. It was back in the day, April 2004, 10th. It was Passion of the Christ.
Oh, my God.
Didn't enjoy this one too much.
You know, it's funny. We did that in season one of At the Movies 10 years later, because that was number one in 04.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah, I'm catching up to you. I can now show people how it's done. Cool.
Yeah, that was a rough episode.
It's like, I can imagine. Not a fun one to joke about or banter about. Yeah. Not a lot of lanes
to make
fun of.
So who did you have on to banter with you about Passion of the Christ?
Surprisingly, Gucci Mane was on the show. Joining us.
Yes, that is surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. David Lee Roth really had some musician thoughts on it. And then, again, Justin Timberlake was an all-musician kind of approach. Just to look at The Passion of the Christ from the musical soundtrack side of things, everyone's talking about the movie itself, right? That's tired. We're talking about the soundtrack to Passion of the Christ.
Okay. Right on.
It was banging.
Nice. Sounds good. So that's all for this week. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to eat your Werther's candies. And no matter how bad things may seem, you can always trust the process. Be-doop.
Anytime is a good time for the swear word party.
You know what I mean? We trust the process.
That's right.